Hey, good morning or good afternoon or good evening or whatever time of the day it is you've tuned in to the People of Packaging podcast. And so you are winning the day. You've already won the day. So thank you so much. I'm super excited to introduce you to my new friend, my fellow Coloradan, Anna Zezba. She is the CEO and co-founder of Better Buzz Brands. And we're going to talk about her story, her background, and about some packaging redesign for one of the brands, Corpse Reviver. But first, my friends, I am so blessed to have people who love you as an audience member so much that they want you to listen to a few ads. So please, you know, go visit Myers, go visit SpecRite. These are incredible companies. Go check them out. We're going to play some ads and we're going to get to this interview here with Anna Zezba. That is such a fun name. I'm going to say that all the time, Anna. It's such a fun last name to say. Just everyone say it before you get to just say Zezba. It's great. Super fun. All right, let's get going.
SpecRite allows us to centralize our spec data in an easy to use and searchable platform. Puts everyone on the same page with up-to-date information and helps us to adapt quickly to business needs and sustainability reporting.
Today's podcast is also brought to you by Myers, which is where I work my day job and coincidentally is the most sustainable printing company in the country. Myers is a third generation family business on a mission to create a sustainable future for people, products, and our planet. To learn more, click the link down below in the show notes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined today all the way from sunny Colorado. In case you don't know, Colorado is the sunniest state in the lower 48, I believe. Is that still true? That was a thing when I lived there. They were like, we get the most sunshine than any other state in the U.S. And I just used to tell people that. Is that still true, Anna?
I think so. People definitely brag about it. So
they definitely sure.
300 days of sunshine, they say.
So
it's sunny today.
That's perfect. I will say, though, Utah's snow is a little bit better. The skiing here is just a little bit better. So it's okay.
It's pretty good.
You can't have it all over there. Well, that voice you hear is Anna Zezba. And Anna, I do. You were saying like, oh yeah, my last name's kind of hard to say. But once you nail it, like it kind of reminds me of Elf, right? When he's like Francisco.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he does do that. And then repeats it like 12 times. Yeah.
Like 12 times. Yeah, yeah. One of my friends' names is Mike Rosowski. And I'm like, I just had to be there when you saw Monsters, Inc. for the first time and realize like my whole life has just changed.
Famous.
I don't know if you've seen the movie or not, but
he's super famous. He's famous now.
He's famous. One-eyed Mike Rosowski. He has two eyes, though. Well, Anna, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and for taking some time out of your day. I know you said you are in the production area, so we may even hear some lovely ambient noise in the background, which I think adds to the appeal of this particular podcast. So thank you so much for joining us. And why don't you do a quick introduction of who you are?
Sure. So my name is Anna Zezba, as we've stated already. I'm the founder and CEO of Better Buzz Brands. Better Buzz Brands encapsulates two brands, Hooch Booch, which is a hard kombucha company, and Corpse Reviver, which is a non-elk, what we call a hydration libation. So essentially a hydration beverage, like a Gatorade, but different. It's tea-based and a little bit bubbly. I guess I can get into a little bit of the history, too, of the company and how I got started.
Yeah.
Cool.
Please. That'd be great.
So back in 2020, right when COVID was beginning to hit, the mayor of Denver actually shut down all of our liquor stores, deemed the Denver Prohibition. He closed them for like 4 hours, came back on the news later that night and was like, just kidding, terrible idea. People were going absolutely nuts.
For 4 hours, they were? It was like,
yeah, it was so crazy. Yeah.
I thought if you would have said like 4 weeks, I'd have been like, yeah, that makes sense. But like 4 hours and people were losing it. That's pretty crazy.
Going to stock up. They were like, I don't know when they're going to reopen. So he didn't say like, oh, it was going to be 4 hours. It's like, hey, liquor stores are closed. And everyone's now quarantined. People are like, what am I going to do with that alcohol? So they're like running to their local liquor stores to stock up. So it's wild. Went on the news later that night and was like, just kidding, terrible idea. Simultaneously, I had been furloughed from my job working in luxury hospitality because that industry basically died overnight when COVID hit. I was working in corporate events. No one was meeting and doing corporate events when COVID hit. So I started researching Prohibition because I was bored on the couch and I was like, what actually happened during the real Prohibition? And found that the classic cocktails really emerged to mask bad flavors of hooch or alcohol. You know, people were making like bathtub gin, and they were disguising it by adding really unique flavors, fruit profiles, etc., which really is where classic cocktails came about. My sister was living in San Diego. Hard kombucha was really starting to pop up around 2020 in San Diego. And she was like, hey, if these brands make their way to Denver, you've got to try them. The name hit me, hooch like prohibition, alcohol, booch like kombucha. Couldn't get it out of my head, and started the business.
I so, love that so much. That
yeah, is, it's a pretty crazy story.
That is amazing. Yeah. What part of San Diego is your sister in?
She was actually in school at University of San Diego. So she was like, right. I mean, yeah, she was living on Mission Beach.
That's tough.
What a tough life.
I know. I've lived in San Diego for a few years, and it's hard, you know, living in Salt Lake City, Colorado, and San Diego. I've somehow managed to, you know, to make it here, but it's beautiful places to live. Okay, that's definitely awesome. So you get the name idea, but there's got to be, you're coming from luxury hospitality. It's, you know, we're in the middle of COVID. You've got an awesome name idea, but you got to be like, well, how am I going to do this?
I'm not a brewer. People are like, are you the brewer? Are you a brewer? I'm like, no.
Got it.
So I reached out to a ton of brewers in Denver, just on email, right? Because everyone is very scared about face-to-face confrontation at this point.
Sure.
And one person got back to me and they were like, yeah, I can't help, but good luck. And I was like, okay, sweet. So I ended up walking into this brewery on South Broadway called Dos Luces, which was like right by where I lived. And I was like, hey, I'm starting this hard kombucha company. Any chance you could help me make this product? And he's like, what? But he went to school for fermentation science. And so he was like, let me think about it. But like, maybe. And he's like, come back in a couple of days and like, give me the idea. So came back a couple of days later, had like a business plan of sorts, and was like, hey, here's my concept, here's what I want to do. And he's like, all right, cool, I'll help you. I can help you with the recipes, but I can't help you with production. And at this point, I didn't really know like about contracting, like contract brewing or contract producing, like to go to like a big co-packer. I didn't really know that was like a thing. And so I was like, surely just this neighborhood brewery can make it for me. But anyways, he helped create all of the recipes, which took, I don't know, maybe like 6 to 9 months. I went to the homebrew store. He told me everything to buy. And then we just kind of started iterating and trying new things. You're kind of learning together. There's not a ton of literature on brewing hard kombucha like there is for beer or wine or anything like that. So there's a lot of trial and error. And then, you know, finished with three recipes we felt really good about. And then I took them to a larger brewery here in town. And I said, hey, can you help me basically scale these up? And I'd gotten connected to them through like an industry chat. My friends own this company called Fireside at Five, and they were doing like hospitality industry chats, brewing industry chats, 5 o'clock every day during COVID. And so I joined the brewers one, and I like stuck my head out and was like, hey, I'm looking for a brewer, and ended up finding one by way of that. So kind of just asking a lot of questions and I guess just like deeply immersing myself into what was now the brewing industry that we're in.
That's amazing. I mean, the cool part about that is you started off from a place of like, I have an idea, and then engaged with like an insatiable level of curiosity that was just like, I just got to go figure this out. Right. I think so much innovation and cool stuff comes from somebody just saying like, I have an idea and I'm going to go try to figure it out. And, you know, like I had Sean Riley on, who is the CEO and founder of Dude Wipes. And he was telling a story about just that, like, yeah, we're just sitting around in our, you know, in our dorm room. And it's like, it's just so cool to hear about how these things start. And then even, you know, it's during COVID and you're joining virtual meetups and, you know, learning about contract manufacturing. And I don't know, there's probably 100 different stories and ways you could go during that time. Cause what was that, a year plus from Hooch Booch is a great idea to, can somebody make this? It sounds like.
It was like Hooch Booch is a great idea. 1 year, actually it was 9 months later that we had a product ready to go on shelf. So it was pretty quick.
You had an idea and then you had a brand baby 9 months later. Yeah. It baked and now you had a kid.
Pretty much. I feel like I have 12.
I can only imagine. Okay. So current state, now you have two brands. So
yeah. So we can get into Corpse.
I guess did you pull in the manufacturing for Hooch Booch, or is it still contract manufactured?
contract manufactured, not at the same place we started. We ended up, so both of the first initial breweries that I was talking about just like had their own brand, like they were their own brewery, but it was a really good place to start because the minimums weren't too high. And it was like, I could work really collaboratively with the brewer to really like formulate the recipe and tweak if we needed to. Now we're at a larger contract facility where they just kind of keep churning out the same flavors, same production, et cetera. Yeah. So we use a co-packer contract brewer now.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about Corpse Reviver. I love the name. I know there was a rebrand. We'll get to that here later, but when did the iteration come to, was it similar, or was it like, we see a place in the market for this? Like what was that like?
Yeah. So we do a lot of team brainstorms around new flavors. It's like, hey, we're very classic cocktail focused. All of our flavors are classic cocktails. Let's get on a team brainstorm to chat about a summer seasonal, a winter seasonal, a fall seasonal, you know, similar to how the brewing industry works. And so we were on a team brainstorm and someone was like, hey, what about the Corpse Reviver cocktail? Like, that's a really unique cocktail. That could be really cool. And then we started to think about it because a lot of people had been asking us out in the market if we had a non-alcoholic option. There's a huge shift in the NA space, yeah. Functional beverage, you know, people just consuming and drinking less. And so we kind of leaned into that and said, okay, the original cocktail was kind of meant as like a hair of the dog. It had absinthe in it, meant to like cure what ailed you. You know, absinthe was medicinal back in the 1800s. And so
right.
We kind of took those notes and said, and this kind of plays into the rebrand. So I'll give kind of the initial story. We were like, okay, let's launch. We wanted to call it a boneless cocktail, which is like a cocktail without bones, like a non-alc mocktail. Then we wanted it to have the hydration benefits. So we wanted it to be both. And I think that got really confusing to the consumer and in the packaging and just like positioning where that was going to go. And we still didn't really know too much about the non-alc space. We were definitely just getting our feet wet in alcohol. And I think a lot of buyers don't really know where to place a product like that because they're like, well, it has functionality. And then the very reason why we created non-alc, which was to expand perhaps quicker and reach a larger audience, we ended up having the same confines as alcohol because it said boneless cocktail. They were ID checking people. And so if you position your product as an alcohol alternative, like a IPA beer that's non-alcoholic, they're still going to ID check you because that's right. The occasion it's serving. So we're like, okay, back to the drawing board, quite literally. And at that point, we were using a freelance designer that was kind of just helping like tweak assets that we had for Hooch Booch. So then I went back to our original graphic designer, Anne Marie, who's a close friend of mine who did the Hooch Booch design. I was like, hey, we got to scrap what we're doing. Whatever's happening is like not landing in the market. Like people don't resonate with the packaging. It's not making sense to them. The concept of the beverage is confusing. Let's take a step back. So basically paused and we're like, if people want to buy it, whatever, but we weren't really hard pushing it. Came back and she sent me this like whole discovery thing. And it was like, who are we trying to reach? What are we trying to do? And then I attended a bunch of conferences in the non-alc space and was like, do we want to position it as an elk alternative, or do we just want it to be a functional beverage that could be drank at any time? Mm-hmm. And one thing that we talked about a lot with Hooch Booch was like occasion specificity, right? And like where people position beverages in their mind. Are they thinking it's a morning beverage, a late night beverage, an in-between beverage, a happy hour beverage? And we were like, if we go functional, it could be drank as a mocktail, but it could also be drank post-yoga, post-workout. So with all these electrolyte benefits, we were like, let's just go fully functional. We're not trying to make it a mocktail. Because then when people think mocktail, they think this really punchy flavor, this really like strong flavor, like a cocktail is trying to emulate. And we were like, no, that doesn't really make sense. So pulled it back and said, going fully functional, did the whole brand discovery. And then we were like, okay, here's the direction we want to take this new product. So really when we talk about it in the market, we don't really even mention like the rebrand or like what happened first, because it didn't really go too far. We're kind of just like, hey, we're launching our new Corpse Reviver because most people don't know about it.
Kind of like a new product.
And it is like, there's so many new things about it. The formulation's different. The packaging's different. So we kind of just like dropped the other one, but you know, for this purpose, I think the rebrand is an interesting conversation because the way that we have rebranded it is so, so much different. And it's allowed us to actually sell the product. It shows the importance of good packaging for what the liquid is inside, if that makes sense. Like they have to go together. Yeah.
Completely. Well, here, I got an idea. So what we'll do is I'm going to take a quick break and we're going to hear from our sponsor Label. And then I'm going to pull up the Corpse Reviver page. And I want to talk a little bit about the rebrand, about the packaging. Cool. And obviously, it's a packaging podcast, right? So we'll have some visuals and you can kind of walk through some of the maybe there's like some hidden surprises in the packaging. Maybe there's some cool reasons behind it. I always find it really fascinating when people can kind of tell the story of their packaging because you don't always get that.
Totally.
When you're getting it. So we'll take a quick break here and be back and break down some packaging with Anna Zezba. It's awesome. You have a really awesome, my last name is boring. You've got a really great last name.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. No more mentions of how cool your last name is. We'll be right back. Did you know that 89% of consumers say they've stopped buying from a brand after just one bad buying experience? Well, that's where Label comes in. Label Protect is a brand first, buyer focused protection solution that's uniquely designed to make shipping issues a thing of the past. Instead of leaving your buying experience to chance, you can give your customers peace of mind at checkout, knowing their orders are 100% covered from loss, theft, damage, and more. And with a 98% claim approval rate, 24-hour resolution time, and best-in-class revenue share, Label reduces customer support overhead, protects your bottom line, increases profits, and most importantly, Label keeps your customers coming back for more. So whether you ship 100 orders a month or 100,000, it's time to make the final mile part of your competitive advantage with Label. LABLPX.com or just click the link down in the show notes. All right, we are back and I'm going to pull up this. Let me make sure we can, I think we're good. Pull up this, the Corpse Reviver site. I'm back here with Anna Zezba and we're going to be breaking down a little bit of sort of a rebrand, sort of a complete retooling almost of a brand. And talk about the Corpse Reviver. So you have the Hooch Booch, which seems like it's got a lot of clarity in the market. People understand what it is. By the way, the first time I ever tried kombucha, this was, I'm going to guess, 13, 14 years ago. It was in Colorado. It was at a company that was kind of pioneering kombucha at the time. And I was at their office and they gave me like pretty like raw, like brewed kombucha, no flavors or anything like that. And I was totally caught off guard and I like took a drink, but you had to sort of like, but my mouth is
muster
like,
it down.
What is happening? What is going on? We've never tried anything like that. Since then I've actually just totally fallen in love with kombucha. I think it's wonderful. But that first moment I was like, okay. Here we are.
I also feel like it's evolved a lot over the last 15 or so years. I think it's become a lot more palatable to consumers. I think previously it was like this health beverage that like only hippies in Boulder drink. And now I feel like it's becoming a lot more mainstream. I mean, especially with the distribution of, you know, flavors you see in Costco and things like that. But actually that leads me to a really good point about why we decided to delineate the brands. Because a lot of people have your very reaction when it comes to kombucha. And so with the affiliation of keeping both together, we were so worried in the last time that we branded, it was Corpse Reviver by Hooch Booch. And everyone was like, oh, it's just Hooch Booch's non-alcoholic kombucha. And I'm like, no, not that. So, we very, specifically delineated them.
That makes a ton of sense. I was trying to blow up our image here so we could see
it. Oh yeah, this is good. Yeah, this is good.
Okay. So we've got Corpse Reviver here. Is first of all, normally wait to the end, but is this available for purchase? Obviously it's non-alcoholic. Anybody could go to the website and buy it. The website is drinkcorpsereviver.com. And you can go buy it. It can ship, you can buy it in stores. Is that all true?
Correct. Yes. We started online first. So I would say direct to consumer through the website is probably the easiest way to get it now. That being said, we're working on a lot of retail locations now. So hopefully you'll be able to see it at your local spots very soon.
Sweet. Well, that space has obviously exploded. Okay. So let's talk about the packaging here. So we've got an aluminum can. on all of them, it looks like. Did you have to go the shrink sleeve route on the aluminum cans?
There's actually new technology for digital printing, which allows for lower minimum. So we do the digital printing. It's a lot more eco-friendly than the shrink.
Yeah, I love it. I'm actually really glad. And if you ever want to plug the people who are doing that, that would be awesome. Because cool. I get asked a lot about digital printing on cans. I used to work for, I work for a company that produces labels, and I've produced a lot of shrink sleeves. There was a necessity for shrink sleeves on cans. And I was like on my high horse for a while. Like, you have to put a tear strip in the shrink sleeve so this thing can get ripped off. Like, it's causing a whole bunch of recycling and blah, blah, blah. So that's awesome. So this is a digitally printed direct deco can.
Yes. I'll plug CanWorks, WORKS. They do a really nice job for us.
Are they in Colorado? Yeah, I think,
no, they're not. They're somewhere in the Midwest. I'm forgetting where they are, but highly recommend them. They're really great partners.
Great job, CanWorks.
I will say not all of them are great, especially with the digital printing. And depending on how you finish the product, if it has to be pasteurized or something like that, and it goes through some sort of like heat kill step, I've seen sometimes the it flakes off. So just be careful. Get samples of the cans first.
Yes. Yes. Always test. Always, especially before you place that purchase order. You got to test it.
Yes.
Make sure the artwork's signed off. Make sure you know exactly what the colors are going to be. If you can go on press and watch them get made, then go do that. Like, get involved in your packaging, CPG people. It's going to save you a ton of money. And potentially a lot of wasted product as well, which nobody wants. Okay, so we've got a can. It's digitally printed from the website. It looks great. By the way, another advantage is, I'm guessing you could actually get renderings of this and start to put it out onto your website, right? And test it and do some product testing.
Oh yeah.
Prior to get going. So let's walk through. Should I zoom in here on this can a little bit more?
I think if you hit view product, you might be able to see like all three sides, but I'm not positive.
Probably. Yes.
Click. Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
There. This one might be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, cool. So there's a story behind this narrative that's happening here on the can. So when working with my friend Amory, she's like, I have this idea for how we're going to kind of lay this out, because I was like, we want to portray like hydrating elements and like your body coming back to life after drinking this, but not in like a liquid death, like hardcore type of way, more of like a botanical way, because we're taking the botanicals from absinthe and putting them into this drink, which is very hard to do this like floral with skulls and skeletons. A lot of the can designs that we had seen were very like Day of the Dead. And I was like, not really that. So the whole story goes is this woman up here, she's like the ethereal corpse reviver goddess, and she's basically raining down below to these skeletons, inspiring them to dance. And you can see the little lightning bolts, right? They're like getting electrified, like electricity.
Oh, right here.
And there's actually skeletons on both sides. Like, one's pouring a drink down their throat and the other one's like reaching up with a cup. So they're...
I was going to see if we had an image of that. Maybe... Here's a little bit of the...
Oh, there. Yeah, you can kind of see. Oh, yeah.
Hang on. Whoa. Where did it go?
Look out.
Okay, view product. I think I zoomed in a little bit too far. All right, so we got some skulls right there.
Yeah, there are actually like two skeletons on either side too. Okay.
Let's see if we can get one of those. Did I miss the...
Maybe up to the photos?
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah, there. Arrow.
Okay, we're arrowing over. Okay.
Keep going.
You can tell this is a finely produced podcast with...
Keep going.
One more. All right.
I think.
There was the one.
No, one more.
One more.
Yeah, you can kind of see it there, but this one might be better.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, so this kind of is like the whole packaging. Yes, you can kind of see the skeletons on the side.
Oh, now. Look at this. Watch what we're going to do here. Ready?
There we go.
This is the magic of the internet. That button. Maybe that will help us.
Wow.
And I'm...
There. Oh my gosh. There are the skeletons.
Okay.
The
so we got one over here. We got one over there drinking.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. And then Yeah, and then there's like all the little water droplets that are coming down. They're filling up their glasses, inspiring them to dance, and kind of bringing them up from the underground back to the living is the story. And these are all hand-drawn by an illustrator. I should also mention Gaspar Costa. He's located in Portugal. And Anne-Marie found him, and he is incredibly talented and drew all of this. It was her concept. She's the one that digitized it all. He hand-drew these elements, which is so cool. And I think one thing that's so important with packaging is, especially right now, there's a lot of people copying other people's designs or very, you know, plain, white, boring packaging, I guess, in my opinion. And I think this really helps us to stand out on shelf. So helps drive velocity, sales, et cetera. So it's packaging is incredibly important.
Where would this be in the store? I don't know if it's in, you know, Whole Foods or Sprouts or Kroger or whatever. I don't know what stores you're in right now. So I think there's a store locator on your site.
There is. Yeah. Mostly local spots right now. We just launched in January, so it's very new.
Got it.
Yeah. So looking to secure more. We've been talking to all of those retailers that you've just named. So hopefully soon. but we say like, it could go in a couple of different spots. It could go in sparkling water. It could go in functional by like the Olipops, the poppies of the world. It could go near a kombucha because it has all of those functional benefits. I mean, it has potassium, magnesium, sodium, L-theanine, and zinc for recovery. So like a really high mineral content in these. And then it could also go, I would say mostly enhanced water or functional. I don't really think it lands. It is tea based, but it's not a tea. So I wouldn't put it in tea. It's also slightly bubbling. So bubbly water. Ideally, it's refrigerated. That's where we'd like to see it positioned. Everyone would like their drink to be refrigerated, but there's not always that space. So.
And interestingly, I remember once I was, I do a decent amount of work around like sustainability, specifically in packaging. And I was in a meeting with one of the C-level executives from New Belgium. And we were talking about sustainability and their packaging and whatnot. And they said, actually, the biggest thing for us is if consumers would just be okay buying our beer not refrigerated. Because the refrigeration is actually what drives a lot of our sustainability scores down. And they could just buy it and take it home and refrigerate it. But people want to buy it, go home, and drink it. And we can't stop them from doing that. Like if we say no refrigeration, that would help our sustainability score, but our sales would plummet. I'm like, oh, that's a good point. So there's always a little bit of a dance between the two, right?
I think especially with a product like this that's sold in singles, most often people are like taking it as their beverage to like drink in the car, like literally on the way home from the grocery store. I would say when it comes in a larger pack size, like a 12 or a 24 pack, I think some people might be bringing it home and putting it in their refrigerator, but then you're also asking them to take up 24 can space in their refrigerator. And not a lot of people have that space, or to your point, they're headed right to a party or something and they already want it cold. So yeah I mean, cold is the best placement for sure.
No doubt. Well, that's great. So tell me a little bit about the health benefits of this relative to maybe some other, because I'm thinking there's this whole market segment is huge, right? So you not only have like the liquid deaths who are doing their thing, and you've got all the functional sodas, you've got the kombuchas, you've got the coconut waters, you have just the plain sparkling waters. You're right. There is a surge of attention being put into the space, and understandably so. So where do you sort of fit, and maybe kind of give your pitch as to why people should, when they see this, or if they go to your website, which again is drinkcorpsreviver.com, when they go there, what should they expect as like some health benefits?
Yeah. So people say to look to supplements first to see kind of like what's going to be put in food and beverage next for trends. Like what are people supplementing with that will be put in a ready to drink or things like that. So I think hydration has been a really popular subject for quite some time. Rightfully so. I think we don't get a lot of these benefits that were perhaps once in our water or once in our nutrients that we're just not getting anymore. So we worked with the nutritionist on this blend. So it has potassium, magnesium, and sodium, which are traditional electrolyte benefits. Magnesium can kind of help to chill you out a little bit. And then for sodium, we decided to keep that quite low. It only has 10 milligrams, primarily because the American diet already gets quite a lot of sodium. So we figured, you know, if you're not drinking this post-workout, it's still okay to drink throughout the day without having like too much sodium that would really only be necessary for post like sweat session. So we tried to keep that really at bay. Then when we were talking with the company that helped actually formulate the blend that goes into this product, it comes in a powder form. And so that's how we mix it in. They were like, L-theanine is very popular. And so we think that you should add it in. We think it's a really good ingredient that a lot of functional beverages have right now. So add that in. And then zinc as well, just for immunity. And so we basically came up with this blend to quite literally revive your corpse after a night of drinking or after a yoga session. Also just like as a good afternoon pick me up, like I notice a difference when I drink them in a day and when I don't. Like I feel like my energy levels are just so different. And I think there's a lot of science too at looking at minerals right now and seeing how important they are for us. So give it a try for yourself though. I mean, the flavors in and of itself are just refreshing and nice to drink. It has a very good carb level, so it's not too bubbly. I would say it's like a light carb level, which I'm like very particular about, so I feel like I have to call that out.
I love carbonation in my drink.
Yeah.
There's just something about it that is
the only thing that I like don't want carbonated is like a black iced tea. But like any other like beverage, I'm like, ugh, like bring on the carbonation. But I don't like when it's too bubbly. That's why I have to call out the carbonation. It's like a light carb level. It's really good.
Here's what I think everyone should do as we wrap up. First of all, thanks so much for coming on. I didn't realize we'd already been talking for half an hour. That's crazy. Because I had so many other questions. Thanks for WORKS, right? WORKS.
Yes.
That is doing the digital printing that you recommend. That's incredible. So shout out to them. Everybody go check out, I got it pulled up right here, the Corpse Reviver website. Looks like you got 4 in stock. You can buy 6-pack, you can buy 12 packs, you can buy the variety pack. Is this even recommended? I'm thinking about, like my 16-year-old who, plays a lot of sports and works out a lot.
Oh, yeah.
This would have a lot of functional benefits for somebody like that as well. So it's not the people doing yoga. It's also, really everybody. Everybody needs minerals in a lot of the things that you have in here that they're missing through a lot of their normal eating patterns. So everyone go check it out. CorpseReviver.com. I'll have a link down there. I'll probably order up one of these variety packs here. Look at this. You just go add to cart. Let's see. And
yay, we tried to make that so seamless. I'm glad
you're like, uh-oh, this is happening live. What's going to happen?
No, we like wanted to make the checkout process like so easy so that people could just like quick add to cart. So I'm glad it's working just like
It all worked. And look, you can use Shop Pay. You can use Google Pay. A bunch of easy ways to get it done. So, Anna, I appreciate you so much for coming on. I'm gonna stop by whenever I'm in Colorado.
Please
and see the production facility where you are, and like I said, get a Corpse Reviver hat. I think the hats are super cool. Apparently, there's some new ones coming out, so everyone be on the lookout for those. And yeah, anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. Thank you so much. And yeah, if you're local to Denver, our tap room is here, Blind Tiger, and that's where I'm at right now. So come check us out here.
Sweet. I will be checking out the Blind Tiger. The art, by the way, reminds me. So I'm actually an ordained Baptist minister of all things. And hence the packaging pastor.com.
Yeah.
It's like an actual thing. But it actually reminds me of there's this like great story in an Old Testament or a Hebrew Bible book of Ezekiel about the valley of the dry bones. And he's given this vision of this valley, these dry bones come to life. And I was like looking at the art, I was like, oh, that reminds me so much of that story. I actually want to get I have an idea of getting it like tattooed on my body. I love it so much. So I was like, yes,
yay.
I love this artwork so much.
It's so fun. There's so much complexity to it. So yeah, it's really fun.
Incredible. Well, Anna, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. Everyone go check out.
Yeah, thank you.
Survivor.com. You can also go to, is it hoochbooch.com or drink hoochbooch? Drinkhoochbooch.com as well.
Yep.
And check out their products there. Thanks again, Anna. Really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
For sure. Well, that is a wrap for the People of Packaging podcast. Hey, if you want some more packaging content, you can go pick up the book my wife and I wrote, Packaging Peaks in the Sticky Situation, available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all sorts of places. And also, I want for you to go and follow my friends, Corey Connors. He hosts Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors. It is incredible and it is wonderful. You can also go check out Avelio Matos' podcast, Packaging Unboxed. And you can check out the three of us every single Monday morning, 8:30 Mountain Time on LinkedIn, where we host the Packaging Today show. It is hilarious, and packaging is only half the story. So go check it out.